Profile with Wamboi Mburu. This is a repeat of Profile that was aired on Wednesday.
And let me introduce you to my guest today, Pastor Steve. He's called Pastor Steve James Owaga, and he's the youth pastor here at Christ is the Answer Ministries, Valley Road. Pastor, how are you?
I'm fine in the Lord.
Where do you want us to start telling this story?
Well, I think
spanning 20 years.
Yeah, and I think I need to start from the time I was a young person from Sunday school.
Okay, then let's start there.
Where I got the inspiration. Yeah. So I attended Baptist Sunday school. I think that's a place where we were really grounded in the Word. But when I became of 10 years of age is when I committed my life to Jesus. I think that Word became so alive in me. It was during a house fellowship. So the preacher was speaking about John 3:16, where God so loved the world. And one of the things I remember he explained is that God loved us all, whether you are young, whether you are old. All of us, he died for us, for our sins. And I think that touched my life. And I decided to give my life to Jesus at that age.
It was very deliberate.
It was very deliberate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, and then I began a walk with the Lord at 14 years. I used to hear people praying in tongues, worshiping the Lord, and I was desiring this thing.
By 14?
By 14 years. So at 14 years, I was filled by the power of the Holy Spirit when I was just about to get to my KCP exams. I think it was on a Sunday. Then on Monday, we were to do rehearsal. Then on Tuesday, we were to begin exams officially. So that's when I got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I was going to high school, I was on fire for the Lord.
It does make a major difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was on fire for the Lord. I went to a Catholic school, St. Mary's School, Yala. A little bit strict on the Catholic traditions, but I think I still made it. Then at form three, I became the vice chairman of the CU. They allowed us to see you.
Great.
And also the assistant prefect in charge of Protestant services. Then at Form 4, now I became the chair of the CU, and also the senior prefect in charge of Protestant services. Yeah.
Whoa.
So we used to have the Catholic Mass as usual. They have the Catholic Mass, but on the parallel side, we used to have the Protestant services.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. So you all this time, you are growing as a leader.
I was growing as a leader, but I didn't know where God was taking me to.
I know.
Yeah. It's not very clear where God was taking me to. One thing I knew is that one time I will serve God.
Yeah.
But the scope of serving God, that was not very clear.
All right.
On me, yeah.
You just used to serve as this leader of other students.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And perhaps that's something we should talk about. Mm. Leading students in a Christian union, in school.
Mm.
You know, looking back, I think those students were over. We should have been calling them pastors. Yet, they don't have this council of elders and the deacons.
Yeah, they're actually pastors by functionality.
Yes, yeah, they are also students needing
also students
to study like everybody else. Yeah. Tell me who that experience really on the ground was like for you.
It was a little bit of a challenge because people look at you as a leader up there. They do not know that you also have challenges like them. For example, if you fail in a subject.
and not CRE.
Social sciences, if you fail in a subject, you see, they look at you like this person who should be an example to us. How could you just get a zero in mathematics? How could you just fail in that nini? So
in a way, it tarnishes your testimony.
Yeah, it tarnishes your testimony. And I think that also gives you the encouragement to work hard as a student.
Would you want your son in the years to come to become a CU leader, even a prefect?
I would definitely want them to go that direction.
You think it helped you?
It helps because it shapes your character as a leader.
Uh-huh.
It makes you to be more focused because there are people whom you have influence over that are looking at you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. So all this time, anyway, you're learning. You're also in the ministry in many ways.
Mm-mm.
But what are you dreaming to become?
But then I was dreaming to be an engineer.
Did you have some engineer in the family?
Yeah, we have an engineer in the family.
Ah.
So I used to admire. I also wanted to do this engineering thing.
All right.
I think, unfortunately, I didn't make it at that point. But, of course, the Lord helped me. When I went to the university, I studied something related to that. I studied physics and chem. Education science.
All right.
With IT. Yeah.
That is what you went to do.
That was what I went to do.
At the university.
Yeah.
All right.
Maseno University.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then now here you are a pastor. You tell me now about this dream, which you are saying you're living your dream.
Yeah.
All right.
So just as I've told you, the dream was really not to, my dream was really to serve God. I didn't, because from the community I came from the place I came from, I saw pastors really struggling.
Financially,
pastors were on bicycles, and I didn't want to be part of that statistics.
No.
I said I want to do something else as I serve God, so that I fend for myself as I serve God. So again, the journey in the universe, I'm orientated as a first year, second year. Again, I'm given a leadership responsibility. I'm a Bible study leader with a small group. And again, when they saw that I was excelling in that leadership, I was given another leadership responsibility of being the assistant worship director of the Christian Union.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, when I got into the fourth year again, I was now elected the CU chairman again, the university. And I think that, of course, gave an inspiration to me, serving over 2,000 students, making decisions, making budget, inviting speakers, like the pastor there.
Again,
another responsibility. So I began to think about my life. And I think I say that there is nothing that God gives you just for. There's a purpose to which God brings you to such capacities. And when I became the CU chairman, another responsibility again came. Within the focus structure, there is what we call the Regional Student Executive Council. Is actually a fellowship of different Christian unions coming together.
From schools?
From
colleges and universities?
Actually, different secretaries and chairmen of the CUs in the universities coming together. Within that fellowship, again, I was elected the chair.
Hey!
The chair, again, in the Western region. It covers Maseno, Masinde Muliro, and other colleges and campuses in that environment. And again I became now a member of the National Student Executive Council. So within the student body, I think I've served to almost the peak of that, and I think I didn't take that for granted. So after my graduation at the university, I was told to there is a program known as STEM program, student short-term experience in ministry and focus. So I joined that program. And I think it was a twofold kind of program. One is to learn, and two is to serve among students. So I was serving among students in Karen CU's multimedia and all that, that place. And then worshiping in Karen, Sitam Karen.
Uh-huh.
Then from there is when...
Oh, STEM, is that a job or just a volunteer?
It's a volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah, you volunteer for one year as you are being trained, but as you serve among students.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would your... let's say you've gone to multimedia.
Mm.
What would you do?
I was... basically was to fulfill the four objectives of focus. One is leadership. So that means you organize leadership training. You work with the executive... committee leaders of the various CUs, organizing trainings and generally capacity building. And then we also have discipleship. You provide for them discipleship materials. We have Bible study materials. You disciple young believers and all that. Then we have missions and evangelism, where you also train them on missions and evangelism. You go with them to missions and all that, just mission exposure. And
so Focus has to really introduce you to those CU.
Yeah, they have to go there and introduce me to this CU, that this person is coming here to serve for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then he's going to do this and just help us to be better.
Okay.
Because again, when you become a CU leader, there is no school where CU leaders are trained.
No.
So it's like an apprenticeship kind of thing.
Okay.
But so you need people around you to mentor you and to train you in that particular direction.
Wow.
Yeah.
So STEM is over one year.
STEM is over 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And then again, we started a partnership there with the Sitam Karen. By then, we were working closely with Edwin Jue, who is currently the youth pastor there. So we were working together. So when my time was just about to be over, and then he tells me that I see something in you.
Ah.
Could you consider joining the Sitam apprenticeship program, the camp program?
All right.
So that's when I prayed and I felt, okay, let me try.
And during camp, you're supposed to finally make a decision.
Finally make a decision within 1 year.
Whether
you are called to full-time ministry, or you can go back to the market field and still serve God in that particular sphere.
How was that? How was making that kind of decision for you?
Making that decision for me brought a lot of some low moments.
Really?
Specifically to our family. Our family felt that the family is so needy. They have a son whom they have educated, who now needs to work.
But pastoring is work.
We need to work and bring some good money and lift up the economic status
of this home
now.
Oh.
And this camp program is still kind of like a volunteering kind of work. So, you know, you've already spent another 1 year in STEM. You're already spending another 1 year here in again. So it put a lot of challenges. But I think eventually my siblings, my parents were able to understand. And then I got to. So they told me, now after this, where do you go to? I told them, now I'm going to Bible school as a student again.
So that's a year number three.
Where
no salary.
You still need their support.
Yes.
You still need their support in terms of your well-being in school, because you are a student, so you are dependent again.
Yeah.
So. Of course, they understood. By the grace of God, I managed to get some scholarship from church and also some scholarship from elsewhere, other organizations that I applied. And I managed to finish within 2 years by faith.
Amen.
And here I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
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 Wow. So that was a low for you in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
You felt pulled between what you've considered to be where God is calling you,
mm-mm,
and the expectations
of
your family of origin.
Yeah, yeah.
Why were you so sure that God was calling you to the full time?
I was so sure. It's because looking at the journeys that God had taken me through, you know, when God calls you, one is that he gives you the grace. Then he provides a platform where you can be equipped and be built up to that particular journey. And I could see opportunities. In fact, I started realizing open doors.
Open doors.
Which is our current theme here at Sitam.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of open doors, and the opportunities that God was providing for me, I think I just seized those particular moments. And also the grace just to minister and to preach to students of my age and to just affect the lives of people. And I felt that this particular gift, I need to be a good steward and just serve God in that particular direction.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. With time, we will talk to young people now that you're a youth pastor.
Mm.
And so at this point, I will give you, if you're listening to us, you're a young person, this is your pastor. Allow yourself to interact with him while he is here up to 1 o'clock. We are on the SMS line 20933. If you want to write, you want to post a tweet, you can do that. We are at Hope On Air. That's at Hope On Air. And with me is Pastor Steve James Owaga. Pastor Steve James Owaga is the youth pastor here at Christ is the Answer Ministries at Valley Road. Pastor, one of the greatest questions we always look forward to the answer is a question of some of the things that you've gone through, because we realize that God uses many things to shape us, and that's been quite a journey in terms of opportunities that God created for you, open doors that God created for you, but life kind of has many more issues. If you were to go to the side of challenges and some of the challenges that have shaped you, that you've been through to get where you are so far, who comes through as one of the greatest?
Just as I told you, I think I was brought up in not well-off family. Some people would say a humble background, but I would say just a poor background. And I think the difficulties that we went through when we were young, I think the other Sunday I was preaching to the youth. I was talking about the place of prayer in open doors. And I was telling them that when we grew up, even eating the three meals was a miracle. And you had to
breakfast,
pray.
Breakfast, Sunday, breakfast, lunch, and...
And supper.
And supper.
I was telling them in mathematical way, I was telling them we had to use the unit matrix to eat.
Oh, my goodness.
The unit matrix is 001 010 and 100, where one means you've taken a meal.
Taken something.
Zero means you've gone with nothing.
So and sometimes so, there is, let me see whether I'm getting that. Sometimes you have breakfast.
Yeah.
But that will be one.
That will be one.
Then 00.
00.
No lunch, no supper.
No lunch, no supper.
Hey, I prefer supper.
So you have to go with whichever God provides.
Why? Your dad was a pastor.
Yeah, by then he was not a pastor. He used to serve with a company known as Kikomi. You know Kikomi? Kikomi is Kisumu Cotton Mill. It actually one of one
to do with clothes.
It's actually one of the companies that collapsed at some point.
Yeah.
So when they collapsed, they were jobless.
Oh.
So we had to go through that desert experience
at that
particular point. Yeah, where
mom wasn't working.
Yeah, mom was not working. Yeah, so
you didn't have land as farming that could sustain the
family.
No,
we were not farming. We were in town.
Oh,
yeah.
How come?
You know, he was working in town.
Yeah,
because when he was working in town, then the
town means Kisumu.
Kisumu.
All right.
And then that particular company collapsed, so they were jobless. So you know, you have to adjust. Even if you decide to go to the rural area, you have to make some particular decisions. Now, when you are going there, how do you go to start life and all that?
Yeah.
So in that moment of still trusting God for God to open a way, it was not a very easy time for us. And I think that really, it lifted up my faith that we can actually pray and God can actually hear our prayers. Because you don't have any expectation, but at the end of the day you are living, at the end of the day you are able to sustain yourself. One of the very sad moments is when we were chased outside the house.
Because it rental was house. Rented.
Hey, the rent arrears was going
up.
Up. Yeah.
Where did you go?
So we had to spend outside. Then the next day now dad has to speak.
Literally outside.
Literally outside. Yeah, so.
And then? Because you don't have money. If you don't have money, the worst thing that can happen is for the familia landlord to chase you out. Because now you need money to introduce yourself to another. So what did you do?
I think at the end of the day, God gave them some grace and we were able to come in.
The same place. Okay.
As the issues were being sorted out. But just the kind of embarrassment that you get outside, that was not very, very good at that particular moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did your breakthrough come? As in, so you can't settle back.
Yeah, you can't settle back
in the rural.
In the rural,
he doesn't have a job.
We had to go for some moments to wait. Eventually, God opened another way, and he got another job altogether. But again, when you are from school, I think even my primary, I can say I did it by faith. I think God gave me a certain grace where I was always outside the school. Because of lack of fee. You know, by then, Kibaki had not yet come with the
free education in primary.
Free private education. So we were paying. So if you don't have money,
you go.
So I think at that point now, what I used to do is that I used to go and get notes from the other pupils who are on my class, get them, copy them, read. When it comes to exams, I have to go plead with the teacher to do exams. But I still managed to pass, score very high marks.
What did you get?
I got 515 out of 700.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything 500, I remember, was really good.
It was very good.
So where did you go?
Yeah, I went to St. Mary's Yala.
Oh, yeah, you told us. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So that was an answer to prayer.
That was an answer to prayer. So I think it really strengthened my prayer that God is there. That's why... Even if somebody convinces me today, be you an atheist, be you any other religion outside Christianity, if you tell me that God is not there, I will disagree because I have seen the hand of God.
Amen.
Actually, the finger of God.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Back to not having meals and having them 100 or 101 at best.
Yeah.
And you're saying that even that grew your faith.
It grew my faith.
Can you recall some instances of miraculous provision?
Yeah, I can remember many instances of miraculous provision, where sometimes you don't really expect to take supper, but somebody comes, a member of your church comes with shopping, and you're able to eat that particular night. And you thank God. So I think the God of miracle is a God who is there.
Yeah. So in a sense, all eyes were on young Steve James. To get us out of this miry clay called poverty.
Yeah, of course, there's my elder brother who had gone ahead. He's a medical doctor.
Oh.
Yeah, so at least he cushioned to some point. But what was now required is now to cushion him again from...
Yes.
To further cushion him.
Yes.
So somebody else needs to come in place to further cushion him in that particular journey.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And here you are saying, I feel called to serve.
To serve.
To volunteer. The word couldn't have been good to your people. Now I can imagine.
Yeah.
Looking at it that way, I can imagine why it was a problem and a challenge.
Mm.
How are they now?
They are doing well.
Mm.
I think now we may not be there yet, but I think we are doing well by the grace of God.
Are they contented with you as a pastor?
Yeah, they are now
or do
content.
They still feel these are the what they took you to university to do could have made more?
No. Right now, I think they are contented. They have given me their blessing.
All right.
And I think I am serving with a lot of joy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm.
Paul writes to tell you that the unit matrix analogy of 001010 and 100 has just won. And he's just laughing there and says, be blessed. Joseph Oso saying, great and good to hear your wonderful story and the journey in ministry. Kennedy Omondi writes, hello, Pastor Steve. Having known you for the last 15 years, that's a real testimony. Thank you. I'm getting them because they are writing to us on the SMS line 20933. That's 20933. And I'm talking today to our youth pastor here at Christ is the Answer Ministries. Those of you on Twitter can get in touch with us. That's at Hope On Air, at Hope On Air. And that's where I'm getting Abraham Masiku saying, I'm very blessed to hear my mentor. He ushered me into leadership and the love for missions, a man of great inspiration and motivation. You know Abraham, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Abraham Masiku. He's one of the students we were with in Cooperative University when I was serving in
when Karen. You were in the Karen area.
He was actually the chair of the CU
yeah.
in Cooperative University College.
He says you ushered him into leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
And into the love for missions.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you do that?
I was then the staff there.
Yes.
So part of our work is to help in the leadership transition. So the other chair was going, so I had to usher him into the leadership and just mentor them as they go through their term.
I want to hear a little bit more of the personal kind of mentoring that he is talking about. If, for example, you were talking to the person who took over from you and tell him, I have seen in my journey at Karen that this works to inspire, to motivate, to mentor. What kind of things would you tell him? If he were to talk to you and just give me some of those things that worked and tell me also what didn't work. Let's get very open about this. Mm-mm. All right.
I think when we talk about mentorship, you mentor both in word, but also in modeling, where people can see your life and learn a lot from you as you go through that journey. And going back again to your question, just what works and what does not work. I think having gone through the experience of college and being a leader, I think I had the authority and also the competence to give them certain things that I know works as a student, as you work among students as a leader and also a student, and some of the things that do not work when you work in that particular forum.
All right.
Yeah.
Junior Wanson, he's always there on Profile. By the way, Junior, I've been seeing you quite a number of times and he feels rejuvenated today with the testimony. The whole area of, because you seem to have tarried there for a while, the whole area of lack of finances. Mm. And I know that dealing with young people, even though you are at an urban setup now, you would find someone very discouraged, feeling like, will my dream ever come to pass because of the situation at home? Let's use your... I know you've already said prayer, but I wonder, what are those things that the Lord kind of just imprinted into your heart that you can share with someone who feels like, I have a big dream, but no support. And dreams these days sort of seem to need money. Yes.
Part of, I don't know whether it's a philosophy, part of what I believe... in my philosophy is that where there is a vision, there is provision. Anytime you have a vision towards a given given direction, be it in academics, be it in any field, or you want to pursue something that needs finances, the first thing you need to have is a vision. When you have that vision, then God will bring people along your way to support that kind of a vision. I can tell you that when I was going through my master's program now in theology, it was purely...
Where did you take that?
It was purely God at Negest, African International University.
All right.
It was purely God. At some point, I was almost giving up during my first year. And I think the Lord just came handy, and I got a scholarship that enabled me to finish. And even when I was applying, it was just a step of faith. Just a step of faith that God was going to provide. And indeed, God provided. Until by the time I was leaving, I had still excess money in my account.
You did?
Yeah, over 100,000, and I left it for somebody else to be helped.
Wow.
Yeah.
From this scholarship?
From this scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, it's so easy to say that. How do you figure out a sponsorship opportunity? I'm asking that on behalf of someone who will soon be needing a scholarship. They'll do well. They are admitted into a university. They have no idea. How do you go about looking for scholarships? That's a youth problem and issue, isn't it? Yes, sponsorships. And how well do you write it so that you stand a chance among many.
I think different scholarships have got their own, they've got their own requirement, and part of it is always performance. The second is whether you are disciplined, all these issues regarding academics. So I think somebody just needs to find out the scholarships that are there, then find out what are the requirements in this key scholarship, that what are the key requirements that they need in this particular scholarship. Then after you've known that, then you are able to know whether you've qualified or not. So you just apply, and apply as many as possible by faith. And with prayer, one may just succeed.
Yeah. How do you know where to apply? How do you decide where to apply?
Different colleges. Like now the one that I got, I was connected by the college. It's actually with the CLA.
So you need to talk with
you need
your...
You need to talk with your college. The dean of, it's also actually under the dean of students.
Okay.
Where they give those kind of scholarships. So you need just to talk with your colleague. What are the available opportunities that are there?
All right.
Then you ensure that you meet the threshold of that particular scholarship. Then you apply.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we will get more of your issues as young people. I asked that because I know that's an issue with many the help, things like that, that the young people struggle with. I'm listening to you, man of God, and it's true. God miraculously opened doors for you, not mentioning the matrix format of getting meals. Miracles Harrison in Sitamburuburu says, so shall you be blessed. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Harrison. Is he called Miracles? It's Miracles Harrison, Sitamburuburu. He's called Miracles, maybe.
No, it's Harrison. I think he just wrote Miracles, then Harrison.
Oh, it's a miracle. So just the name is Harrison. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. And and Pastor, I see a ring on one of your fingers.
Yeah.
Is that a wedding ring?
Yeah, this is a wedding ring.
Okay. Now, let's talk about that.
I'm married to a beautiful wife.
They all are beautiful. Everybody tells me that. Or it's in the eye. I mean, the beholder is the one who knows.
The beholder is the one who knows. And as the beholder, I know how beautiful that is.
Tell me about her. How did you meet?
We met in campus.
That's for your bachelor's.
For my bachelor. My bachelor degree is in Maseno University.
In Maseno, all right.
We were both doing education. She was doing education arts. I was doing education science.
And you are the CEO, chairman.
So you pick one of your sheep.
Pastor, what happened?
Well, this happened before I became the CEO chair, when I was still a director of worship. So this lady was part of
Pastor, you sing, or directing worship doesn't necessarily mean you sing?
I sing.
Okay, you sing.
Yeah.
Higher.
So I was a director of worship. Okay. This lady was part of the worship team.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think among the many that I was mentoring around, I decided to mentor more closely.
Why? What stood out, really?
I think what stood out is her character. Apart from the beauty, the physical beauty, I think her character. And just a commitment to the things of God. And I say that this is a person that I would want to move with this journey that the Lord has placed in my hand. So
the relationship started then.
It started then.
Through your confusion with your parents.
With my parents.
She's also
there.
Part of your life to quite a big degree.
Yeah.
How was she taking it? So it's out of college, it's volunteer STEM.
I think to her, it was very clear to her of my calling in ministry. So she didn't struggle. She didn't struggle with that.
Right from the beginning, she knew your calling.
She gave me the support that I require. even when I was in Bible school, she was the one working. She actually works with TSC. She's a teacher.
All right.
Yeah, so she's the one who gave me a lot of support on this.
Oh.
Yeah, until we got married in 2013, August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then why are you working?
When?
2013.
No, I was not working.
You were
I was actually getting married in 2 weeks. I'm joining Bible school from camp.
You had just finished camp.
I just finished camp.
Oh, she's a woman of faith.
She's a woman of faith. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She knew I am signing in to someone called to ministry.
Someone called to ministry.
And if that means my teaching job is what we will be supported by, she was quite okay with that.
She was quite okay with that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. How did it feel to have her pay your school fees the times she was able to?
Sometimes the ego issue comes on board.
That's what I'm thinking.
Where you feel you have a young wife whom you've just married and you need to provide, yet she's the one who provides now.
Oh.
And I think God has to give you a lot of humility to know that at that point you can't provide. And so whatever she was getting is what we were using then.
Yeah. And it never came between the two of you.
Yeah.
The ego felt what it felt, but kept quiet.
the ego in me felt, but it just kept quiet.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so we are now blessed with one beautiful girl again called Tirian.
Ah,
yeah.
You didn't say the name of your beautiful wife.
My wife is Caroline Waeni.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Waeni.
Yeah.
Is that cross-cultural?
It's cross-cultural.
Yes, that would sound cross-cultural.
Yeah.
How has that been, actually? That's interesting.
Well, it has been very interesting. Just getting the two cultures mingled together and just knowing that we come from, we have been brought up differently, but also coming together within the covenant of marriage just to make ourselves one. Yeah.
All right. What are some of the points that you would zero in on? Is this one has required intentional, now what shall we call it? Maybe grace sometimes.
Mm.
Maybe intentionally agreeing that that is different. Let's form a new one as a family. Just for the sake of people now getting married.
Mm-mm.
Intercultural marriage.
Mm.
Which are some of the things that stand out in your mind as having had the potential to be issues if you didn't handle them well?
I'm not getting your question.
For example, some people struggle with the naming of children, for example. So Terian is there, but depending on where one is coming from, the whole issue of how you name your child can easily become an issue if you don't handle it well.
Yeah.
So from your background and her background, which risks could you see even as you came along as we have to handle this and handle it well or it can become an issue? Anything stands out?
I think you've just mentioned the part of naming.
It was just an example. did I pick on something and kumbe it was real?
The part of naming.
Yeah.
I think we haven't struggled on a lot of cultural issues by the grace of God. And like now, my daughter is Terry, and Terry is her mother.
Oh.
Terry is her mother, but she's Terian Akinyi. Akinyi is my mother. So what?
Okay.
So what we have done, take the English one. But now since now the lady is from my ancestral home, let's take now the ancestral name from this other side. That's how we do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you decided you would cope with the whole issue.
That's how we said we are going to cope with the whole issue.
Of naming children.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that if the next one is a boy,
yeah.
he will have an English...
My father's name from that other side.
It's working for you.
It's working for us.
Did you have to have a lot of discussions to come up with that new one? Because it's a new naming system that you've created there, right there.
Yeah, I think we did come with I think it came from her. Not from my coercion. It naturally came from her that we will use the what we call the ancestral names from the other side.
Okay.
And then now we'll mix them like that.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Star Pauline writes, Pastor, is it good to be... Now I'll get back to that question from Pauline. I'll get back. Pauline, just give me a short time. Let me first take this from Simon, who is in Langata, who says he's blessed by your life experience. He calls you of my brother. Yes, of my brother. And thank you for your suggestion that we check about the beacon. I know we've been having a small problem there, and I know what you're talking about. We will check it out. Thank you. But he's blessed by your life experience. This one is curious about the college relationship. We will get you back there. And the way you laughed when I raised that issue. How, Pastor, did you nurture that relationship, taking into consideration your role? And many dadas, that means sisters, that may have been eyeing the CU chairman. That is a very good question. Answer it, Pastor.
I think, just as you say, it was not very easy.
Yeah.
But I think as people began to know this was what was happening, they began to respect our decision because we came so openly.
Openly as in saying it out?
Saying it out.
Did you make an announcement, for example? Or you didn't make an announcement?
You're fixing me.
I just need to know. You've been fixed by the listener.
Yeah, I think I made it very plainly that we were relating together. And by the time I was actually getting into the exec as the CU chairman, everybody within the CU knew that we were relating with her.
All right.
Yeah.
It did not bring problems.
So it didn't bring problems.
Because it was out in the open.
Yeah, I think it even made my leadership to be easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because in a way it put the rest away. So you did not have these eyeing dads.
Yeah, I didn't have
because
them.
She stood out clearly.
Clearly.
As the person you are relating with.
Yeah, yeah.
It must have been, in a sense, what do I call it? A good pressure for you as you related, knowing you're in leadership. Knowing that a lot of eyes were on you for mentorship. I am just thinking it must have been a good pressure for accountability.
Exactly.
Fell upon you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good pressure for accountability because even still within the confine of the CU, there were also many people who were relating like us. And so they were depending on us.
Yeah.
To give them direction in life in regard to those issues. Of course, we didn't know much about it, but just the general direction when people look at you and they feel that they can trust you, but also that they can see you as a role model that they can follow, that can follow in that direction.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And that was a long time of... relating, it seems to me. So in total, how many years were those?
Around 4 years.
Oh, it's 4 years. Not too long then. Not too long. All right. The lady who had written wanted to know about fasting and menses. And because we receive this every other time on Life Questions, I keep having to explain to the pastors, whoever would be there, that sometimes we are coming from the Old Testament theology, of the clean and unclean.
Mm-mm.
So this girl may be categorizing herself that way.
Mm-mm-mm.
Unclean.
Mm-mm.
Because of the Old Testament, Leviticus,
mm-hmm.
Kind of law.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken time to explain, but it seems to me we always have a new believer
mm-hmm.
or a new listener.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you handle young people who may be asking these questions. Would mm-hmm. you answer it for her? Is it good to be fasting while in having the monthly periods for the girl?
Yeah, I think fasting, of course, part of the reason for fasting is for us to intensify prayer in our lives. But of course, there are also various reasons why people fasted in the Bible. But I would say that unless it's a health issue, that's when somebody can leave fasting. But if it is not a health issue, you can still continue to fast. I don't think there's any problem.
She's not unclean. She's not unclean, theologically speaking.
Mm.
She's not. Or is she? You're not really answering her question.
Mm.
Is it good in terms of the Old Testament, or in reference to the Old Testament scriptures that talk about clean and unclean, whereby in certain situations you are not allowed to, even to go before the Lord's presence at certain points in the Old Testament.
Mm.
So I was saying that we are coming from that understanding where perhaps she may be feeling, because it's an intensifying of prayer,
mm-mm.
an intensifying of being in God's presence.
Mm.
Is it right, or should she only do it the other times of the month? I think that's a question that they bring up.
Yeah, I think she is clean.
Mm.
By virtue of being a born again, if she's a born again Christian, I don't think whether that physical issue that she's having makes her unclean as such. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm.
And I want to encourage you to be joining us for the meat of the word. We keep handling that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
the meat of the word and the life questions.
Mm.
But go ahead then and do your fasting, unless, as Pastor says, it's because of a health issue that then can't take the two together. Pastor, please tell us the importance of not being unequally yoked, especially at the youth stage. For example, says this person who is called Paul, for you, your wife to be easily understood and supported you. Then number two, he's asking two questions. Number two, tell us the common pitfalls that young CU or youth Christian leaders should watch out for. And many blessings, says Paul. Thank you, Paul. Two great questions.
One.
Absolutely. He has made a good observation already.
Yeah.
He's answering his own question,
where
he says, for example, your wife to be easily understood and supported you because she understood where you are coming from. But so what's the importance of not being unequally yoked?
I think the Bible states it very explicitly that we do not need to be unequally yoked by non-believers. And I've always told people that when you are getting a wife, you need to look at three main things. One, you look at theological unity. Are you united together theologically? Can you pray together? Can you read the Bible together? Just growing each other in the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have physical compatibility. Are you attracted to this person that you are getting married to? Are you attracted physically? The chemistry, is it really there? But also the last one is what we call intellectual compatibility. Like myself, I could not go for somebody who is a class 6 dropout somewhere. We have to reason intellectually at a certain platform. What he has actually answered is based on theological compatibility, that we have to have the common faith. So that as a Christian, when you are saying that you are not going to do sex before marriage, it's very clear for the other person that that's what the Bible actually says. And you live to that particular thing, that the that particular aspect that the Bible talks about. So it's important that you get somebody who you can unite together when it comes to biblical, simple or basic biblical principles.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll ask you a question. You are allowed to tell me it's not a good question. You're allowed. I have a feeling you might do that. But so let me ask you, from the two categories that you have given us, the liberal. Say them again.
The
urban liberal
and urban conservative.
And the urban conservative who may have first of all begun from a rural setup and now is in Nairobi. Looking at those two, who is more likely to develop into, let's say, a leader? Who is more likely to mature well in the faith? Or can we just say that there's no comparison? Let's not compare the two. I'm giving you a way out in case.
Yeah, I think all of them.
Yes, they do.
All of them can. All of them can be nurtured to be leaders. All of them can be nurtured to be true disciples of God. But just as I told you, that it needs a lot of cooperation between the parents, the teachers, those who interact with them. What do they see? What do they see them do? So all of them can actually be nurtured.
But the conservative urban may not have the parent here now. They may be alone in Nairobi. Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, even the conservative, when they, some of them, when they come to the town, like you find somebody has come from, let's say, for example, Bomet, he has come from an interior place in Bomet. Then he comes to University of Nairobi. And suddenly he gets the freedom as a university student. He may either use that particular freedom in a negative way or in a very positive way. Because he didn't have the exposure, the town exposure that he will be experiencing in the city. So all of them can actually lead to destruction, but all of them can actually be nurtured to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, so long as they are obedient to obey the ways of God.
All right. What if God leads you to someone who is not at your level? What if?
Yeah, I think intellectual compatibility cannot be narrowed down to only academics.
Okay.
They are actually people who are naturally intelligent. And they are people who can you can reason with, even if you are not at the same level of education.
It's true.
And part of marriage requires communication. So long as this person, you can actually resonate together when you are communicating, then that way there is intellectual compatibility
between it. All right.
Yeah.
And so really, indeed, it can work.
It can work.
If you have it, not necessarily because of papers.
It's not because of papers.
But the reasoning
capacity. The reasoning
capacity and all of that.
Kind of person,
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Join us next week for another life-changing story on Profile, only on Hope FM, where you listen and live.